Welcome to this week's news from The Merge. Here we go. In that number, 3 billion. Britain is pledged $3 billion of military aid for Ukraine in 2024. In that number, 470 billion. The Department of Defense awarded $470 billion in contracts last year. It's fiscal year 2023. That's an 11% bump over the previous year. Of that, software and hardware contract awards totaled $80 billion. So most of those contracts are services contracts, not capabilities or things. On the radar, the F-35, guess what? It is finally getting anti-radiation missiles to do the seed mission. Lockheed Martin was awarded a $97 million contract to integrate AGM-88 Gulfs, the G model, the high-speed anti-radiation missiles onto all variants of the F-35. That's the A, the B, and the C. And if you're not tracking, HARMS lock onto emitting radars. So I think they're putting out a signal. The missile seeker locks onto the signal. And this is a staple weapon for the SEED mission. That's suppression of enemy air defenses. HARMS right now are currently carried by Air Force F-16s and the Navy's Super Hornet and Growler fleet. So the fun fact is the F-35 was designed to replace all those aircraft, and it was fielded and declared operational as a penetrating SEED platform in 2016 without a SEED weapon. So it looks like probably 2026, 2027 until they fix that glitch. So that's a 10-year running joke inside of the Combat Air Force. So good on the Pentagon for finally fixing that. Lockheed Martin is planning a live fire test. It's going to use the Navy's Aegis system to guide an Army Patriot missile. The Missile Defense Agency funded a small-scale demo using a hardware-in-the-loop. It's a hill. This is a live fire test, though, and this is going to be self-funded by Lockheed. Here's our take. Putting the Patriot missile into the kill chain is great. Probably putting it on a ship, not so much. They have their own integration and stockpiles, but we think it's probably more about a land-based capability. Aegis Ashore is a Navy program that's basically taking the Navy's Aegis system and putting it in a key land area. Right now it's in Poland, and there's talk about putting one on Guam. And so the integration of a control system like the Aegis and a Patriot missile basically pairs two mature technologies, even from different services, together. And so that's a way to add value proposition from the company. So from a corporate strategy, makes sense for the operator, probably makes a whole lot of sense too. More to follow on that. Guam is going to be interesting to see how it plays out. There's lots of food fights over how to best defend that and who is in charge of it. Right now, the Army is in charge of defending Guam. Aegis is a Navy program of record. Northrop Grumman's new ICBM, the Sentinel, has critical cost and schedule overruns and is now forecasted to cost 37% more, and it's going to take about 2 years longer to make it all happen. So another way, this is a $95 billion program, and now it's projected to cost $125 billion. The issue, though, actually isn't the missiles. It's the infrastructure and the command and control. So it sounds like the LGM-35 missile is relatively on time and on cost, but the integration and running the fiber across the hundreds of silos across the northern United States and the land rights is going to be the big issue with that. So we're not sure how that wasn't forecasted in, or if it's just more bureaucracy rearing its ugly head. Time is going to tell. They said it. We have them now stacked up in warehouses. This is Rear Admiral Seiko Okano on how fast Raytheon's automated production line is cranking out the Spy 6 radars. The Spy family of radars, there's four variants. If you guys aren't tracking all different sizes and shapes, those are being integrated across the entire Navy's surface fleet. So pretty amazing that they're getting the production and scalability at a time where production and scalability seems to be the recurring pain point across the defense industrial base. They said it. Special access programs have additional controls, which make it very difficult to talk back and forth, even between components. Anything we can bring from a SAP level to a top secret level, for example, provides massive value to the warfighter, massive value to the department. That's John Plum, the Pentagon's top space policy official on the stovepipe classification systems and some of the recent changes they're making to remove some of those legacy barriers. If you've dealt with any of these in the Pentagon or your military life or as a defense contractor, I'm sorry, and it really sucks. And so we need the control the information and things that need to be controlled, and overclassification is a systemic bureaucratic problem from a process that's stuck in the 80s. Quick shout out for a Zoom in. I got two of them this week. Some really good stuff going out there that I'm not going to be able to cover in this episode, but really, really worth digging in. The links are in the newsletter. If you're missing that out, go check the link in the bio for this podcast and get yourself signed up. First one, the way that the Pentagon measures pilot readiness hasn't changed in generations. It's probably 35 years, almost 40 years. It hasn't really changed at all. There is a really good article out about how using AI to track metrics of performance and deviations of individual pilot skills and metrics over time is a way we can change all of that and make it more accurate reporting of readiness, measure what matters most, and really efficient training and maintaining of that readiness. The next recommendation for a Zoom in is an in-depth analysis from some leadership at Palantir Technologies, including their CTO. And it's about how the Pentagon has a long-standing insistence on government owning intellectual property. And a lot of it is about scar tissue surrounding vendor lock. And there's a really great discussion and nuance of how they unpack that and walk people through of a cultural insistence that is outdated, not necessarily correct, and inaccurate, quite honestly. I live that a little bit in my day job. Highly recommend giving it a read. Okay, off to the save rounds. Here we go. The F-16 turned 50 years old. The Marine Corps conducted live fire tests of the production variant of their counter-drone Marine Air Defense Integrated System, MADIS. If it was a T instead of a D, you could call it Mad Dog MADIS. BAE's first E-scan radar was installed on a UK Typhoon to begin flight testing. Ethiopia received an undisclosed number of new Russian Su-30 flankers. The Air Force is looking for someone to integrate long-range standoff missile, the LRSO, onto the B-52. The UK test-fired a new laser weapon and destroyed an aerial target in a first-of-its-kind demo for the country. Edge from the UAE is integrated guided weapons onto the Turkish TB2 UAV. Germany demoed a passive radar that uses Starlink satellite radiation in the atmosphere to track targets. Northrop Grumman, we talked about the Sentinel before being behind schedule and over cost. Well, they do have a win. They test fired the second stage rocket motor on the missile for the ICBM program successfully. A Dutch company unveiled a covert drone that looks like an eagle. Sort of. Airbus announced it's buying U.S. drone developer Aerovel. Serbia announced plans to spend $800 million on new weapons. Lockheed, speaking of F-16, began building the first F-16 for Bulgaria. So that program is 50 years and alive and kicking. Newmarket acquired Ampac Intermediate, which is a solid rocker motor additives company. The Pentagon tapped ATI to manage the Defense Industrial Base Consortium for the next decade. India test fired a next generation surface to air missile. Boeing secured a $103 million Navy contract for 10 P-8A Poseidon Increment 3 upgrade kits. Northrop announced they are ending production of depleted uranium tank ammunition. General Atomics demoed an autonomous MQ-20 Avenger closing a kill chain. Astroscale revealed its concept for an in-orbit refueling vehicle for the Space Force. The Air Force confirmed the second acknowledged B-21 test flight. The Space Development Agency awarded $2.5 billion in contracts to three companies, that's L3Harris, Lockheed Martin, and Sierra Space, for a constellation of missile tracking satellites. France is supplying Ukraine with more cruise missiles. Northrop and Mitsubishi are teaming up for a Japanese air defense system. The Army activated its second Typhoon unit. And a Typhoon is an Army program that shoots Navy SM-6 and Tomahawk cruise missiles. Speaking of the Army, they tested a new multi-mode seeker for the PSM, the Precision Strike Missile, that will allow them to strike maritime targets. A lot of cross-pollination going on between the Army and Navy right now. Pakistan's Air Force claimed it now has a hypersonic weapon. Checks in the mail. Japan signed a deal to buy 400 Tomahawk cruise missiles. SSCI flew autonomy on the General Atomics MQ-20 Avenger, emulating a CCA counter-air mission. So MQ-20's in the news twice this week. Sweden ordered a Saab mobile short-range air defense system. The Netherlands, their Apache fleet, the final two AH-64 Deltas, went into conversion for mods into the Echo variant, which will complete the 28 helicopter fleet upgrade. Cayman, which does manned and unmanned helicopters, is being bought by a private equity firm for $1.8 billion. Leonardo, they're upgrading their Bright Cloud flare-based expendable jamming decoy. If you guys are not aware, it looks like a flare. It fits in a flare dispenser, but it's an electronic warfare payload. So you pop it out like a flare, it turns on and jams as it falls out of the sky. Lockheed Martin was awarded a $25 million contract to produce guided multiple launch rocket systems, GMLRS. They're going to build it in Australia. And finally, Japan, congratulations for becoming the fifth country to enter an exclusive club and land on the moon. Lowdown complete. See you next week. Yeah.